Blog Talk Radio.
The link where you smell blood and victory, and yeah, we caught the stink. So don't come here trying to get bad, pumping noise,
cause here come the boys.
It's Alex and McNabb and D-Nab, no way you can stop him. He gon' get his even if he run or stay in the pocket. They too fat to catch him, too small to sack him. And they arms too short, no way you can block. And you know Brian Dawkins is wrong, and he's sick with the hits cause he got players coughing the ball. And yo, your line needs to read the defense book. They stand up, we knock him down like a right jab and a left hook. Oh, it's the replay. Now let's look. Cameras ain't lying right up the gut. Brian Westbrook. Now what is y'all thinking? You better run faster than that, or you look at the back of Tom Pinkston.
I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. You're Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. You're Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up.
No matter where you take us, still kicking field goals on our own 10-yard line with Dave Akers. Yo, the enemy is at war, but their luck's over. Giving hell to your soldiers with Terrell Buckholz. If you down with the visitors, yo, you better run because the 200 levels are old. 700. I know why your boy's missing. He got stopped for two on the block, but he got popped. Jimmy Johnson know he hit. Had your QB stretched on the turf because he know for blitzing. And your coach, I know he crying. His arm sent shut down by Ben Corey Simon. Andy Reid make a game play fast. Take a look down in the end zone, you can see score, you gon' have to applaud. We up in Philly, dog, you know what happens to Santa Claus. Yo, our team got heart, y'all can't stand up. But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles,
I put your hands
our
up.
Our team got heart, y'all can't stand up. But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up.
My Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Your Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Our Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Our Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Our Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Your Philadelphia Eagles,
another edition of Sports Tonight brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. Also, when you purchase a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club, give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course, St. Louis University, give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Almost forgot those numbers. It's been so long. I'd like to welcome to the program our Atlanta legend, Mr. Roger Hendler. Roger, ain't no stopping Andy Reid for the rest of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, listening to the intro,
You know, I'm thinking about Andy, and you just look at him, and peace of mind. It was great, I think, you know, getting out of Philadelphia and a lot of the tragedies in his life. He's like a new person, doesn't have the pressure. We were talking about this today over at the Falcons about the difference in his demeanor. But I would also say that it sure would be nice if those Philadelphia Eagles could win a home game.
Oh.
They've lost 10 in a row.
The only time you would
Roger, let me tell you, one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life last Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants, they keep saying the Giants are back. They've won two in a row. Well, I want to tell you, if they couldn't beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and they didn't beat them very badly, they were just awful. So you are exactly correct. It's going to be a long time before the Eagles win anything. And now looks like Vic's down for at least another two or three weeks, maybe more. You know, I didn't think he was going to come back as quickly as they did. They tried to force him in, didn't have him run on Sunday, but he still didn't make it. He still couldn't finish.
Don, I got a question.
They're in trouble. There's no doubt about it.
I'd like to welcome a Philadelphia legend, Don Henderson. Don, which is worse, the 68 Eagles or the Eagles team right now?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really surprising. I heard, you know, Roger just said Andy had such a great run in Philadelphia and time just sort of ran out on him. And I also agree with Roger on the point that he had such, you know, family tragedy during the course of the time. I think, you know, that took its toll as well over the last 3 or 4 years. And it was time for a change. His voice just was running into a silent area. And boy, did he pick the right club to go to. And you know, the Eagles are just god-awful.
I'll tell you what. Down here with the Buccaneers, they lose another game right now. And, I mean that Carolina game, I saw a little bit of the game. But, my God, I mean, it's just – it doesn't get any easier for the Bucs. They got to go up to Seattle, come back, and they play a Monday night game versus the Miami Dolphins at the Ray J. And oh boy, it just stings. You just got to win one football game to just get that thing off your stive up there. And I hate to say it, guys, but this Buccaneer team reminds me of the '68 Eagles. Remember they had a chance to draft O.J. Simpson. They go into Tiger Stadium on Thanksgiving Day. Sam Baker 4 field goals. And bye-bye, O.J. Simpson. And guess who we got? Leroy Keyes.
You're exactly right there. And I think that another thing that Roger said a minute ago is, you know, you look at the context of the Eastern Division of the National Football League, and, you know, the Giants, they keep saying they're back in it, but they have an off week this week. Then they play the Green Bay Packers, and then they play the Dallas Cowboys. And we'll see what they say 3 weeks from now.
And they only had the 5 field goals on Sunday. You
exactly.
Know?
Couldn't score a touchdown.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Don and Frank, you know, the same thing with the Falcons. I mean, Matt Ryan today took responsibility that game against the Cardinals, and, you know, and I was happy. I mean, it's, you know, you want the Falcons to win. I want to win. But we also think the world of Bruce Arians, as Don said, you know, when I said last week. And so it was a good win for the Cardinals, but the Falcons looked awful.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they really did. They played poorly. And how about the game on Monday night? I mean, a lot of people were watching the World Series, including myself. But at the same time, you know, there's no way that the Seahawks should have won that game. I mean, how could you get inside the 5-yard line, get a penalty, have 5 cracks, really, at getting into the end zone, and lose the game? I mean, and the plays they called with a backup quarterback, I mean, 2 of the passes he threw weren't within 10 feet of anybody.
It was terrible. I was watching that in the road
series. Was Freeman playing?
That was the week before, Frank.
Hey, he didn't have any picnic either this week.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. But, Don, congratulations. You won 11. You won the football poll last week. Just doing the arithmetic this afternoon. Congratulations, Don. I mean, it's you and Roger are on the roll right now. So,
well, I'll tell you, a little bit lucky.
We just got a press release from Roy Cummings that if the this week. If the Bucks pass gas, they'll be intercepted. Sorry.
Oh, my.
Well, as I say, I picked Seattle to win, but they shouldn't have won. And, you know, there were a couple of games, the Detroit game. There's no way that Detroit should have won that game. The Cowboys should have won it, and we'd have had a perfect slate if the Cowboys had gone ahead and won. But that last minute, how can you get three plays like that and lose a ball game if you just kick the field goal and they're 80 yards away? And the first down, they run the ball. And don't get out of bounds. They run the ball and gain no yardage. So it was second down and 10, and they still come along and win the game. They never forced them in from the boundary line. They never used the boundary line as an asset. They let them get out of bounds. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And that was Monty Kiffin calling those plays.
That was awful, guys. When I was watching that, I said, "Oh my God!" And we're watching that the double cheat Eagles game, and I was watching the Cowboys, and I said to the guys next to, "Oh my God! Look at the Cowboys are playing great Eagle defense." I mean, the whole bar started cracking up. I mean,
it was remarkable. I mean, it was remarkable.
Well, the other thing, how about Witten and Dez Bryant getting into it during the game?
Oh, that's right.
They did a big feature on that the other night on. And, you know, but, hey, look at what Roll did with the, you know, he makes an interception and gets his club after a 15-yard penalty for no reason because he's dancing around, you know, laughing at people. I mean, the game is going absolutely nuts.
Oh, it's going haywire.
They put Halloween masks on all these guys and let them go out and play.
Exactly right.
It's a joke.
Don, I gotta agree with you. Like the old days of the Smurfs, and I could see the Billy White Shoes Johnson. I could see those dance. But right now, I mean, the guys are doing a dance for just doing their job, for God's sake. You never really saw that under, you know, the 70s and 80s of the NFL. These guys are so like watching ESPN when they're growing up and playing high school football and college, and he says, "I can't wait to get on ESPN. I'm gonna do what kind of dance you're gonna do." And this and that. Just play the game of football. Don, Roger, and Frank, you never see this, you know, conduct in the CFL. They do their job, and they do it for the love of it. Also, the AFL, too, guys. I mean, they do it for the love of it, too, and that. So we're going to get on Lawrence Samuels, guys, pretty soon. Ben coming on pretty soon. Lawrence will be – Don, get this, and Roger and Frank. You know, his daughter played a tennis match, so hopefully she – I said there, Lawrence, that she's going to win. But, Don, she's 16 years old, and just see the power serve on this girl. Honest to God, his scholarship and the women's professional league on this young lady, Don. You just see her serve. It's a power serve right there. Lawrence showed me the pictures the other day on his camera video phone. This girl, his daughter's going to be a real good tennis player when she grows up. And she'll be scholarship, and she's going to be probably playing in the pros.
Well, I hope for her sake that, you know, she has a little bit better control of her conduct because, you know, one thing, you know, Pete Rozelle a few years ago when Carmichael and those guys started that dance in Philadelphia, they finally eliminated that. I mean, I think that Roger Goodell should put some kind of rule out. They're behind by 18 points and some tackle or inside lineman makes a stop, and they're jumping around like it's, you know, last game of the last play of the last game at the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And every single game, you got to go through this nonsense.
Thank you for saying that. Because remember the guy, the New York – yes, sir.
Tommy, we have the brain trust of the Storm on the phone with us today.
I'd like to welcome Ben Slogan and also head coach Lawrence Samuels. Gentlemen, good evening. How's everybody doing this evening?
Pretty good, Tommy. How are you doing?
Good. I mean, Ben, I didn't leave the office at 8 o'clock last night. I was going too many wounds to myself, probably.
You got to keep working the phones, Tommy.
Well, maybe you guys can give us your perspective on what's going on in the National Football League, because I don't understand it. And I'm too old. I'm the first guy. I can't stand it anymore. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
What's going on? What were you guys talking about? I missed the first part.
Well, we're talking about the conduct of the players. It could be 18 points behind, and they make a tackle, and they jump around like it's the last play, the last game of the Super Bowl. The Giant game on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, Roll makes an interception, and he starts taunting the Eagles, and he gets a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct against his own team. He just intercepted the ball.
Yeah, I did notice that. I don't like undisciplined players, but they've endured so much negativity about their season. I guess he thought it was good to do that, but no, I don't endorse that. You know, it just hurts your team. You just took away everything that you work for.
Gentlemen, I have to excuse me. I'm in the dog pound right now in Cleveland. I got two dogs are barking.
Yeah, who let the dogs out?
Get the dog pound out here in Cleveland. Dog starts barking. Barbie's on the phone down there, so I apologize, Kenwin, for the noise up there.
Well, at least we know we got two listeners right now, Tommy.
Like crazy, so I apologize that, gentlemen. Ben, how's
I'll tell you one thing. All three have the same IQ.
Yes. I don't know if that's fair, Don. I think the dog's got a bigger one.
Oh.
Ben, welcome to another Wednesday night.
Another wacky Wednesday night.
What a more somber note, Ben. Thanks for keeping me with your press releases. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Ben is a legend in the AFL. Every time a guy's walk by his office, I go, woo, 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 woo. Hey, Ben, let's tell everybody what happened, what Derek Brooks told me the other day. I was walking in there, got ready to turn on the PC, gentlemen, and Derek Brooks said, I had an old Storm shirt on. He said, Tommy G, we're going to get you some new Storm shirt. Okay, Derek, I'm ready.
Yeah, Tommy's been kicking it old school a little too much. We have to freshen you up a little bit with our new logos and everything.
That's your shirt had Queen Ben that day.
Wow, what a suck in. How come he gets a shirt and we don't, guys? What a suck.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, no, there you go, buddy.
Hey, I'll look into it. I'll see what I can do for you guys.
There we go.
I have no problem with that.
Oh, okay. Oh, no,
Frank's our, leader. We wouldn't have a show if Frank... You know, we're handling the control, so he's
right.
The main man.
So, Ben, how's everything going? Is Coach Samuels on with us, Ben?
No.
I don't know. I'm not with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but how's everything going? We got to talk about the trial camp down at the Forum. It'll be in a couple weeks, I presume.
We have the tryout in Marietta, Georgia on the 9th. Mm-hmm. At Kell High School.
Kell High School,
and,
right.
And we have the tryout at the Forum on the 16th, and it's a great thing about it because we're the only team in the league, and I told this last week, we're the only team in the league that actually does tryouts on its home field, in its home arena.
Right.
So anybody that goes to it and has an opportunity to make the team, they know that, you know, that's where they tried out. They tried out in the home arena.
But how about the realignment this year? I mean, it's not going to affect the Storm in Orlando schedule. But talk about how it's going to affect like the new couple new teams coming in right now.
Well, it's kind of interesting actually because the Iowa moved over from the National Conference over to
right.
our conference.
Right.
The only thing that really doesn't affect us too much because it doesn't really affect us at all actually, other than gaining another. Opponent in conference. What it really affects actually is the National Conference, which is out west, and you have teams like Arizona, San Jose, San Antonio, mixed with Spokane, and the two new teams in Portland and Los Angeles. What we see is it's not going to be frustration. They're just going to have to we're going to figure out the playoff scheme But when you have six teams in one conference and eight in another, it's kind of it makes it harder for our conference because we have the eight-team conference. It makes it harder for us to get into the playoffs than, let's say, the six-team because then you have two-thirds of the conference going. So I think what you'll see is in the next couple of weeks, you'll probably see a playoff, some type of playoff layout where they'll try to remedy that situation. We should be getting actually our regular schedule probably within the next couple of days, I would think. And then we'll know for sure how this new realignment actually does affect us. Teams like Arizona, I think Arizona has a pretty good division that they're in. I should say pretty good for them because, you know, Arizona's two-time defending Arena Bowl champion, and they're with the expansion LA Kiss, which, you know, we all know from every league, an expansion team always goes through some growing pains. And you have San Antonio, which I believe they finished, 9-9 last year, or maybe? It was cool. I think they finished around 500, maybe a game above 500, maybe 10-8. So you have a pretty good division there, and, you know, our division is always the same. We're going to be battling it out with Orlando and Jacksonville and New Orleans.
Oh, boy, I can't stand those first two, Orlando and Jacksonville. Don't get me started about that. Oh, boy.
Well, here we go with the getting on the refs.
Oh, I know. I gotta behave about that. But, no, I mean, it's just, oh, boy, I remember that Orlando game.
I got you back, Tommy. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Frank, we saw that game at the Tampa Bay Times Forum about two seasons ago. Well, the fan missed the ball. The ball is laying on the ledge, and Jacksonville picked it up for a touchdown. And I said to you, and Ben heard me too, that ball hit the fan out of bounds, just on the ledge, just no play, right? I was going nuts. Remember that? Guys, and Jimmy Robinson at the gym says, Tom, calm down. So I took a walk downstairs and beat the crap out of trash cans.
Tommy, you got to remember, they have a job to do just like you do. And look at the booth at second base the other night. A little lob over to second base to start a double play. It hits him in the thumb of the glove, and DeMuth calls. Continuing, unbelievable. And so they all do it. I mean, it's unbelievable how they do it, but they all do it.
Yep. I know. But Don, you can see this. The guy missed the ball two rows in the stands, and the ball was just laying on
two rows.
Ledge.
You could have seen it in the upper deck of Yankee Stadium.
No.
Bounced off the press box, probably.
But this the officials don't get my pet peeve, my officials, Ben. You know how I feel about that. So during Storm games, you and Frank had to say, calm down. So I sit on my hands and this cheery quietly inside. Don't say nothing. Sit on them. I don't want to yell or scream at anybody out there. But no, it's just gonna be fun up there, Ben. So I mean, it's just, so we got the tryout camp this week in Atlanta, right? No, the ninth in Atlanta, right?
The ninth in Marietta.
Marietta. Well, Roger,
Cal High School, outside. One of the top high school programs in the state of Georgia, Cal High School.
Well,
and Ben,
when
you're up
great,
here, you and
great
I will go over with the coach over to the Marietta Diner right there.
Oh, there you go, Ben.
There right. Go. Maybe we could hook them up, Manatee. That'd be a pretty good game.
Sure. Well, they are a good team. And I think, that, as I recall, I think Jonathan Dwyer of the Steelers went to Cal High School.
Wow. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
This would be great. These guys are going to have a nice lunch up there and that. And then we got the trial camp down with Ben on the 16th at the Forum.
Yes. It's on the 16th down at the Forum. And, you know, we had a huge turnout last year. We had close to, I think, 200 people. And we want to try to replicate that in both Marietta and in Tampa this year.
Now, how can these players sign up, Ben?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
No, go ahead, Frank.
What's that?
Sorry.
Yeah. I see on the website that you're asking them to sign up there, but you also have between 8 and 9 on the day of the trials for sign-ups.
Right. Anybody can sign up. We offer pre-registration through the website, and what that gives you is it gives you a $10 off the it'll be $60 registration fee. Everyone does need to come between the 8 and 9 time period because that's when they get to check in also. Mm-hmm. And then anybody that comes, if they know about it but they don't have an opportunity to get on the website or anything, everybody can come on the day of and register day of, and that'll be a $70 registration fee.
Okay.
And it's cash or money order.
We can't argue with that. Everybody listening for football players, it's a big chance to be a big part of the great Arena Football League, and anything can happen from there. Look at the Kurt Warner and look at everybody else who happened this year. So, I mean, it's going to be it's a great time, Ben, and looking forward to, you're probably looking forward to getting out of this hot weather, go up to Atlanta, see Roger for lunch. That'll be the highlight of your trip, meeting Roger and Roger sees you and Lawrence and go to lunch together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, see if I can see what happens. Yeah, definitely.
If you're going up with Roger, be sure to bring money.
Uh-oh.
Roger protects his like it's gold.
Well, Dwyer did go to Cal High School. I just checked, and it one of the Super Bowls the Steelers were in, I was talking to him, and I said to him, I did a game against you, Flowery Branch against Cal. And I said, I think he went to Tech. And so I said, do you ever go to the Marietta Diner? And he looks at me, Marietta Diner? Everybody goes to the Marietta Diner.
It was like the Melrose, Roger?
Just like the Melrose. No. Everybody goes to the Melrose.
That's for those exactly that don't know, Melrose is in South Philadelphia.
That's right.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All positions be open? Does everybody have
All positions will be open. The only position that we will not be trying out is kicker.
Okay.
Kickers won't be evaluated. It's just too hard because without nets, really, it's no. There's no benefit.
Right.
No, I could see. I'll go in the 16th. I'll go volunteer my time because we had kickers down. It'd be every other thing. The kicker would be in the seats, the third level, the club level.
Ben, years ago when Dick Vermeil was coaching the Rams and won that Super Bowl, I happened to be out at camp before the season. And one of the things I noticed is that, and I don't know whether other pro teams do it or not, I know the Falcons don't, Dick Vermeil had the arena goalpost inside of the regular goalpost, which I thought was a really great idea because that way the kicker can zero in on the arena goalpost for making his field goals.
That is actually... That's a very good idea, especially because you're right. The uprights are so much more narrow in AFL. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought it was, and he obviously won the Super Bowl that year. So if that helped, it was a smart move.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
The kickers in the AFL, guys, that's the most demanding position up there, and that. So I mean, you got to go through that short. Upright position up there. There's a lot of ways you can do the onside kick. You go off the net up there and that. And I think the kickers in the AFL guy be probably one of the most valuable players in the whole league because people in the NFL, they ignore the kickers. But the strategy in the AFL with those kickers, it's just remarkable what those guys can do.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Special teams is so important, not only in NFL, but it's so important in AFL because when you get down to the wire and, you know, you're battling, we've seen swings where teams will score two or three touchdowns within a minute and a half at the end of a game to win the game. And, it comes down to that onside kick. It's so valuable and important. And, you know, part of that also is your kicking team as well. I mean, you need the guys to actually go out there and knock around a few people to recover that ball, but if you can't, if a kicker can't lay down that onside kick properly, you know you're as good as dead.
Right, because that's the whole thing about that. It's the same thing like the NFL. Your Giants beat our Eagles really handily, but still like five field goals. A win's a win, and that reminds me of the old Eagles-Giants days at Franklin Field and DeVette. Oh, boy, that's got to be the best rally in the NFL, Giants and Eagles, I think.
Well, it certainly was. Giants and Eagles and Redskins and Eagles were a dynamite rivalry for so many years, right now both teams are down a little bit and have been for a while. And in fact, all three teams, Washington, if RG3 is only a shadow of himself as well right now, hurt his leg again. And so all three teams are really struggling right now.
Yeah, RG3, man, he's, I don't know, he's a shadow of what he was last year.
Well, he can't run.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he had that surgery, and you know, it goes back to where I remember what Don said several years ago when Strasburg came up. They were putting him in the Hall of Fame right away.
Right.
And he winds up having Tommy John surgery, and boy, I'll tell you, an injury can change the young man's entire career in any sport.
You're exactly right. Now he's under the knife again. They're cleaning out the bone chips in his elbow.
Oh,
so he's back under the knife again. He's only been there, what, three years? His second major operation.
Boy, that tells you, guys, remember, that tells you how great Steve Carlton was. 20 seasons, never no injuries, and Jim Cott, the same thing up there. And these guys, these durable pitchers right now. And you know, Jim Cott was on a baseball show last night, guys. He only his average day of rest for 3 days, and these guys a day. 4 days rest. He can't pitch under 4 days rest, for God's sake. Jim Cott was out there every third day pitching the baseball. So was Carlton. I mean, so was Tom Seaver. The pitching in the pitching today, there's so much on the pitch count going crazy. I can imagine what Tom Seaver and those guys are thinking right now. These pitchers of baseball today, guys.
Well, how about Robin Roberts, Tommy? They never had a pitch count on Robbie.
No,
but I'll tell you one thing. They talk about the pitch count and how effective it's been both through the minor leagues and the major leagues. Washington right now would have a pennant. They'd be in either the playoffs or the World Series 2 years ago if they'd let Strasburg pitch.
That's right. You're right. That's a good point.
They may never get there again. That may be his only shot to get to the playoffs or the World Series, and they didn't give him a chance to do it.
That's right.
But Don, everybody, why would you shut him down? The kid's 19, 20 years old. He's got a live arm, and you shut that live arm down, you're jeopardizing the kid's career, and you're jeopardizing your pennant chances.
Well,
yep.
I don't agree with it. I've never agreed with it. Most of the veteran pitchers that you talk to don't agree with it. But in all honesty, they begin to sell it in the minor leagues. You're on pitch count in the minor leagues all the time now. And the other thing that they continually try to force on everybody is that if you pitch six innings, you've pitched a real game. They don't think about the seventh, eighth, the ninth. They have a specialty to come into the seventh, special for the eighth, specialty pitcher for the ninth. I mean, if you pitch six innings, that's a marvel.
That's why you got to give
that.
A lot of credit to Cliff Lee. Roy Halladay, even Cole Hamels. I mean, they would be more than happy to pitch a complete game if they could.
Right. They don't look to the bullpen in the sixth inning.
No, I mean, that's because Ben and I always discuss that during the baseball season. All right, we'll say how many could go up there, right, Ben? We always discuss that. These pitchers today can't pitch into the ninth inning up there unless they got a lead of a shutout right now, like David Price several times with the Rays. He had a shutout in the ninth inning, pitching in the ninth inning up there. But, you know, guys, we were spoiled at baseball when we were growing up in the 60s and 70s, and even in the 80s. These pitchers today are just on a pitch count. They got to worry about everything up there and that, and this it's just total – baseball's a total mess, and Don and everybody, what about the Tampa Yankees going up to Ocala for Steinbrenner's country up there?
Well, he owns Ocala.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He owned most of the racing farms up there.
I was going to say, that's where he breeds the races, has his horses to race the Tampa Downs.
Great.
Yeah.
They're going to train up there, Tommy? Is that what they're talking about?
No, the Tampa Yankees are going to be up there. The New York Yankees will still be here.
Oh, okay. The Tampa
March,
Yankees are going to move up there.
But gosh,
yeah, they've got to build a $40 million stadium yet. That has to be funded. It hasn't been funded yet.
Oh, okay.
Hey, but guys, I'm going to go.
No, you just talked, Tommy, about price. What you know, you're closer to it. We're not that close to it. What's the latest on price? Because, you know, they got to make a decision pretty soon.
Right. But what I've heard right now is probably after the World Series and that. After the World Series, then you sit down and think who's coming back of your roster up there. Most everybody's enjoying this great game of baseball and the Red Sox and, you know, in the St. Louis Cardinals up there. Probably a week before the winter meetings, they're going to get everything organized up there because you got everybody's winding down. You got November as a wind down time, and you get the winter meetings. Usually during the winter meetings, moves are going to be made right then. You don't want to see anybody make a move right now because it'd be silly up there and that. But winter meetings,
right.
You know, they're going to probably be a lot of moving and shaking about talking about price being traded, and I think Andrew Friedman's going to pull the trigger this year, guys, because look at the year he had. It wasn't that great a year, but still was a Cy Young. Look at they've got Will Myers in that, you know.
How about Matt Joyce?
Yeah, Matt Joyce. Pardon me?
How about Matt Joyce?
Right, definitely. Matt, you know,
yeah,
is Matt on with us?
No, he didn't answer his phone.
Okay, but, you know, you take Will Myers coming up, you know, that James Shields trade. You take from the Garza trade, you got Chris Archer and the Sam Fold trade up there. And, you know, and Chris Jimenez, the catcher up there. Andrew Friedman, Don, you know, is one of the best wheels and dealers in Major League Baseball right now. The way he wheels and deals, and I hate to say, but Astros going to have Astros will have to get used to a different climate next year. I hate to say that, and I'm going to miss Astro around here.
Can't beat Joe, though, Tommy. Can't beat him as a manager.
I know, but I'm going to miss Astro. No, because Andrew, I mean, the Rays are thinking about that during the season up there. We got to, you know, if you trade him where you still got talent and you still don't have to pay the extra money for that, but it's going to be a tough situation, guys. I hope the Rays keep around for another year, for another 2 years, to make another run at this World Series up there. But if they trade him, Andrew Friedman's going to make the best move for the prices right after the words on words about that. So I mean, it's going to be interesting what Andrew could do during this off season. What's he going to do in that? But the guy's got to pick it up big time, guys. It's got to be Jeremy Hellickson. My God, I mean, he played. He was like crap in that. In that Boston game up there and that. But, guys, what do you think about Boston? The Bears might be taking the World Series down to another level. What do you think about tonight's game?
Roger?
I don't know.
Well, I could see the team winning. The one thing that did impress me was that David Ortiz got the team together the other night and really gave them a talking to. And after the game, I saw that he said that he should have done that a couple of years ago when Terry Francona was there and they had the issues with, you know, beer during a game in the clubhouse and everything, which, you know, caused Terry to get fired. So that impressed me that he really got those guys together and gave them a talking to.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and I think you know, I thought that Game 5 was really the biggest game for the Red Sox because had they, you know, lost that Game 5, they would have had a hard time winning, you know, back-to-back games, even though they're playing at Fenway Park. But they're definitely in the driver's seat right now, and I'm not a great fan of Lackey, not that I don't think he's a good pitcher. I just don't think he's a durable pitcher now for a long period of time. He's, you know, he's got some age, and I think they got extremely lucky with Lackey in the American League Championship Series, and I think they got very lucky with him in the World Series. And even the one inning he pitched the other night was hadn't been for the error, he would have actually retired four people instead of three. But I don't know. I just think the Red Sox are in the driver's seat.
I have to agree with you, Don. When St. Louis had their chance, when the and good teams rise up to the top, look at Johnny Gomes at that home run to eventually win the game, and David Ortiz, on-base percentages beats out Reggie Jackson, Babe Ruth, and Lou Gehrig.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw that, read that the other day in the paper, and I was, oh, my God, he is on fire. You know why he's playing? He's playing relaxed, guys. He's playing so relaxed right now. You can see in his mist. You can see when he's on the plate, or he's in the field, joking around. This is David Ortiz, who was very successful in that 2004 comeback by the Boston Red Sox over the New York Yankees.
You're right there, but he had a terrible hit, 137 during the American League Championship Series.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's gotten hot at the right time. I'll go along with that. But he had a very tough time in the early part of the playoffs. But
he's
really coming on now. What he had 9 straight times he was on base, either by walk or by hit. And, you know, he's really in a class by himself right now. And if he has another good night tonight, you know, to me, if he has another good night tonight and the Red Sox win, I'm not so willing to throw down a hands down that he's the most valuable player of the series. I think you'd have to split it. I think Lester's been just as effective winning the games he did. I would split the MVP award myself if it were to happen tonight.
Well, how about the bullpen, Don, Roger, and Frank, and Ben? How about the bullpen for the Red Sox? They've been on fire ever since the Rays series, for God's sake. I mean, these guys are playing some great baseball there. And Dustin Pedroia, always a thorn in the Rays side. He's always in the part of the action up there. And I mean, Mike Napoli up there and that. But it's so funny to see David Ortiz play first base again. And you guys remember, David Ortiz came up as a catcher for the Minnesota Twins. You remember that?
Well, I'll tell you, he hadn't played first base as fit. He hadn't really had that many difficult chances. But I was really surprised that he got through St. Louis, 3 games in St. Louis with him playing first base. And not put the pressure on, not bunt, you know, down toward first base, or not make him handle the ball more than they did. That surprised me a little bit.
Well, the one thing that impressed me is he does run it out, and that's why he beat that one throw the other night.
Two of them.
But if you're lackadaisical and you think it's going to be a routine play, you know how some guys are.
Right.
I'll tell you the other thing is Shane Victorino. You know, he contributed. He had that grand slam, and, of course, he's been injured. I hope that he gets back because I think he, having been through the World Series a couple of times with the Phillies, I think he's a good stabling influence too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, darn right.
I would agree with you there, Roger. The other thing is I don't think he's going to come back.
I don't either.
I think he's finished for the entire – he may be a pinch runner or something, but I can't see him he just has had so many injuries now that I don't think he's going to come back for the series.
And think about that, going back to that race series, guys. He beat out that infield hit. Eventually, was a Boston game winning run when he beat out that hit back in the Tropicana Field. I mean, he did it to the Rays this year, and did it to the Rays in 2008 with the Philadelphia Phillies. The same situation, Don. He beat out a ground ball. Eventually, got the Phillies to go ahead and run and win their World Series back to Philadelphia right there. So it's going to be a great game tonight. I mean, it's all the baseball people. We'll have to get on Jim McKean next week. What he thought about the baseball in general. Bill Matthews. These guys are going to be so much fun watching this. We'll get the reaction next week about that, guys.
Absolutely. The other thing about Victorino, you know, he's been hit 7 times. I mean.
Jeez, that's right.
You know, he's like Ron Hunt used to be for the Mets years ago. All he does is turn into the ball. He doesn't turn away from it.
And before all of your gentlemen's time, I remember number 4 in your program for the Phillies, and before that, the Cardinals, Solly Joe Hemus.
Oh, yeah.
Always got hit.
Who was going to get it? Randy Huntley? No, he didn't get hit that much in that. But I remember Ron Hunt, he instead of get away from the ball, he wants to get on first base.
Well, he set a record at one time. I don't know if it still – I don't think it still holds, but he did. I think that who's the Red Sox that got hit so much? MVP and
I got me thinking now. God,
yeah, you played left field.
Carl Farrell.
No. Yeah, played on Yankees. I'm sorry. Played for the Red Sox.
Oh,
I lost his name now. But
I know who you mean, and I know exactly who you're thinking about.
Tony Quagliaro?
No.
No, that goes way back.
Okay. Anybody
I'll come
out
up
there,
with
Ben?
what position? When?
Played left field for the Red Sox. He's now a batting instructor. Baylor.
Don Baylor.
Don Baylor. Don Baylor.
Hmm.
I mean, he must have gotten hit. He never moved. I mean, they could throw the ball his head and he wouldn't move.
Well, you know, look at Chase Utley. Look at the times he gets hit.
Right, exactly. Ben, what about your New York Yankees? Any good moves in the offseason? What they're going to do, you think? Or
I have no idea what they're going to do. I do know that they announced that there's sources are saying they have a plan to spend $300 million. That's all I know.
Uh-oh.
Well, I know they're supposed to be the leading contender for this Japanese pitcher. They're supposed to be number one on the list to offer him whatever it needs to be offered. In order to
that's what I heard. I think what you'll see is they'll retain Cano. The good thing about that Japanese pitcher is that the posting fee that they'll have to pay, which I think is $60 million just to negotiate with him, it doesn't count towards their cap or towards the luxury cap tax.
Wow.
So that'll be good. But I mean, they're gonna put in so much money into this. To this pitcher, and there's no telling how he'll be.
Right, and they haven't had great success doing that either.
Right, I mean, you're right. I mean, they haven't really had much success at all as far as you look at pitching-wise, they had Arabu, and he really didn't pan out at all.
No.
And I don't think if you look recently, you have Yu Darvish down in Texas, and really, I don't know if he's that, I don't think he's that great.
He had a good first
good.
Year, but this year he struggled.
Right, exactly. And you have a look at Daisuke from a few years ago, the Red Sox. You don't really see too much. You don't really see too much success with the Japanese pitchers here. And yet Hideo Nomo was pretty good for a few years.
Right.
And he fell off. But other than that, I think you see more position players. Not just position players, but you see like Ichiro did well. Field players you see a lot better than pitchers, I think, in my opinion.
Matsui did real well, too.
Exactly. Ben, while we got you on the line, you do the football picks with us this week. Well, we got you on the line here.
Okay. What are we looking at?
All right, Roger, Frank, you ready for this? Well, we got Ben
ready
on the line.
Yep.
Ready to roll, Frank? I think. Okay, ready, guys, Cincinnati at Miami. Who wants to lead? Ben, what you lead us off? You're the guest of honor tonight. You lead us off.
Cincinnati at Miami?
Yes.
Cincinnati.
Ben. Okay, gentlemen, who's up?
I'm going to go to Cincinnati as well.
Okay. Roger?
I'm going to come out of left field, literally, and take Miami because they're at home, right? It's at Miami.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
I think they're going to rebound.
I'm going to go with Miami. Now, Frank? Uh-oh.
He's tied up with answering the phone.
Oh, okay. All right, well, about Kansas City at Buffalo. Andy Reid, of course, for sure. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Andy again. I mean, it's hard to believe they're going to win this many games in a row. You got to hit a stumbling block, but I don't think it's going to be in Buffalo.
I think it is going to be in Buffalo, their first loss.
Oh, nah, I can't go against Kansas City. As much as I think Buffalo, as much as I like Buffalo, I don't think they're going to, there's no way they're going to get by that Kansas City defense.
Who did Tommy take?
Yeah.
Tommy.
Tommy took a walk.
Oh, here comes Frank back. Now we'll get his pick.
I was trying to get Phil on, but Phil's cooking.
Okay, what do we have? A rotating pick this week?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, wait, here he comes. Okay, go ahead.
I got lost in the phone zone, guys. I don't know.
Tommy's back.
Got to pay the bill, Tom.
Who did you pick in that Buffalo game, Tommy?
I think Capone's sitting with me. He hit the wire down here. All right, Frank, we got you in the first game. Frank, Cincinnati and at Miami.
Oh, man, Cincinnati.
All right, then we got you. Kansas City, I got Kansas City at Buffalo. Myself and Don are got Kansas City. Gentlemen?
Kansas City.
KC for Frank, okay. All right, Roger?
Yeah, I had Buffalo.
Okay. All right, and okay, Ben?
Kansas City. There's no – Buffalo's not going to get past that defense.
Okay. All right, next up, Atlanta at Carolina. I'm going to go with you tell Mr. Roberts if I'm still with going with his football team, Roger.
Okay.
I got the Falcons. Gentlemen?
I'm going to hear what Roger has to say first.
Carolina.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Where's the
I
game being played?
Where's the game going to
be
played? In Cam Newton and a couple of the guys I talked to, defensive players. Absolutely. And everything, you know, they've got a great defense, so it does to the Panthers. And I think since it's at home, and I think they're on a run now.
I think Atlanta's in disarray. I agree with Roger, his early assessment. I'm going to go with Carolina as well.
Okay. Frank?
Carolina.
Jeez, I'm out in a limb.
Yeah, they certainly didn't play. Atlanta didn't play at all this week.
Okay. All right, Ben, who do you got?
Carolina.
Carolina in the morning for Ben.
Yep.
Okay. All right, it's going to be – okay, I got Minnesota at Dallas.
Dallas.
Oh, we go with Dallas.
Dallas,
Don? Okay. All right, Frank?
Dallas.
Ooh, jeez.
Freeman will throw more balls to Dallas than he will to Minnesota.
All right, Ben, you going to go Dallas?
Dallas. As much as it pains me, Dallas.
I'm going to go with Minnesota for gosh. Let's be devil's advocate. I got picked Jacksonville last week of being a full pick in Jacksonville. It's not too smart of me. New Orleans at the Jets. Okay, wants to lead this one off?
That'll be a cakewalk for New Orleans.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Definitely. New Orleans.
Okay. Everybody with New Orleans?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with New Orleans.
Okay. I'm going to go, this is my upset special, the Jets. Don't ask me why. It's up in New York.
You want to get upset, that's fine.
It's going to be nice, cool weather in New York, so I figured, well, it's the, I don't know, I'm going good. Tennessee at St. Louis on the CFL. You ready for this, Frank? The CFL, Barbie picked she picked Tennessee. So he won't.
Well, I'll tell you, St. Louis lost that. I mean, that was an unbelievable loss for him. But I'm going to go with St. Louis. I'm going to say Fisher straightens them out this week and that they win.
All right. I'm with you, Don, because I'm going to go with St. Louis. It's in St. Louis. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I'll take St. Louis, Tommy.
Okay.
St. Louis.
Right, Ben? Okay. Oh, man. Wow. Could be a star frame, Ben, or what?
I don't know. St. Louis.
Jesus, star frame. Uh-oh. San Diego, Washington. I'm going to go with Don San Diego Chargers over to Washington Redskins. Gentlemen?
I am, too. I think, unfortunately,
uh-oh,
Washington can't get their offense and defense together at the same time, and RG3 not playing well. I got to go with San Diego. They're playing well.
where's
San Diego.
Oh,
yeah.
Where's North Turner at? That's Don's buddy from last year.
He's trying to find his ass with both hands right now, but he's a little problem.
He's up there as offensive coordinator, but he's still struggling even up there.
All right. I guess Star Frame. We Star Frame, I guess, for this one here. Star Frame.
Yep.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay. Philadelphia at Oakland. What I've seen of the Eagles, it's turned back in 1968. I got to go with Oakland. That Philadelphia team looks awful on the field. I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders.
Well, from what I've seen so far, Tony, I got to agree with 100%. I mean, Chip Kelly's having a real, real tough time making that transition, and I got as bad as Oakland is, I got to go with Oakland.
Well, I'm going to go with Oakland. Didn't they beat the Steelers, right?
Yep.
Yes, he did. Okay. Frank?
Well, I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Oh, boy. There's sentiment for you.
All right.
They got to win,
what do you
one
think?
Sometime. They don't have
to
win. They got to win one sometime.
I'm going to go with where are they playing?
Philly's at Oakland.
Oakland.
Okay. Ben's got Oakland. Okay. There we go. They got next one here. Tampa Bay at Seattle. I'm going my upset special of the week. I am definitely going to go with the Bucks by 1 point.
You might set an all-time record for losses.
Call me crazy, right? But I can
You're crazy.
Seattle will win this game with no problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I guess everybody for Seattle except for myself?
Yep.
Yeah, Seattle.
Yes.
Okay, I put all okay.
We're going to call you Friday
after
you
coming off a bad game and getting lucky to win Monday night. I mean, boy, oh, boy, they're going to be ready to play next Sunday.
Here we go. Old Browns versus New Browns, Ravens versus the Cleveland Browns. Got to go with my Browns over that Ozzie Newsome general manager team in Baltimore. Gentlemen?
Cleveland, is this game at Cleveland?
Yes, at Cleveland, at the lakefront.
Okay. I'll take the Ravens.
Ooh.
I'll take the Ravens also.
Ooh. All right, Frank, you can be with me.
I'll take the home team.
Thank you. All right, Ben.
Man, let's see. We'll go with the Ravens.
Oh, geez, I'm telling you.
3-2
in that one there. All right, Pittsburgh at New England. What I always call New England, I call their head coach Captain Happy. So Pittsburgh at Captain Happy.
Well, Captain Happy, even though Brady's got a bad hand, boy, oh, boy, I'll tell you, that guy is something. He looked at halftime last week like they were dead, and he came back, and I got to go with Captain Happy.
Ooh, doing Captain Happy, okay.
Yeah, I'm with
gentlemen.
Don.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Captain Happy.
Yep. Definitely.
Okay. Damn. All right, Ben.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pats too.
I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh because I can't stand Captain Happy. Beavis and Belichick, I can't stand them. Indianapolis at Houston. This could be an interesting game. I'm gonna go with Indy. Indy in this one here. Gentlemen.
Boy, this one could be a good one. But I'm going to go with you, Tommy. I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts because the Texans are going to use a rookie quarterback.
Right. Okay. Ben? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Indy.
Okay, Frank?
I'm going to – if Max Schaub's out there, got to win one of them. So I'm going with Houston.
Oh, all right. The Bears – at the Packers, Monday Night Football. The only thing is about this game, how coach can be in Green Bay. They better hope for a warm tropical wind up there. I want to go with Green Bay in this one. This hands down
going
the
with
Packers.
I'm going with Green Bay as well.
Gentlemen?
Same here.
Okay.
Cutler's not going to be back. I don't know who they're going to play at quarterback.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jack Concannon, right?
Jim McMahon is one of those prophets that can't remember what happened yesterday. I don't think he'd help too much.
You remember they had Jack and Cannon for the the Bears had Jack and Cannon and the Eagles got him in a trade. I still remember that one day at Franklin Field at the vet. We want Jack. We want Jack. Jack gets in the game, replaces, I think, Pete Liskupper, throws an interception, gets booed, and the fans just start yelling, "We want Pete. We want Pete." Oh, God. Old day football, guys. I'm just telling you. All right, we need Ben's and Frank's selection today.
I'm going with the Pack.
Woo! All right, Frank. Last selection of the week.
Can't go with the Packers. Can't go with the
He's
Packers.
He's got the Bears.
That's a clean fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to have
Frank, somebody said Bears. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did. I can't do that six-pack, double-pack.
There we go, guys.
Just to follow up with what Don was saying, isn't McMahon, doesn't he have some serious repercussions from his concussions over the years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely he does. And now they're saying that, they're going to have him checked, but I think he's part of the lawsuit.
Oh, is he?
I think so. I think he's part of the lawsuit.
Wow. And if isn't that one, there might be another one, right?
Which?
Yeah, he's part of something.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I tell you, it's a messy NFL, these lawsuits and that. But, you know, guys, what about the sideline dancing out there? Dez Bryant getting in the face of, you know, Jason Witten for the Cowboys. I mean, you're supposed to be teammates. I mean, you do that, you keep that in the locker room. You don't do it on it's public. This way it gets ammunition for the media. Once again, guys, back in the old days, you never saw that happen in the National Football League.
You're right.
Yep.
I mean, it's inexcusable, I think. I can see a quarterback yelling at what's going on left and right up there. When you had wide receiver going up against a tight end, and you're yelling at this thing up there, like Don was saying earlier in the program, the NFL is just not going, it's just going downhill, in our opinion up there. But let's let these guys do the job, play football, and that's all you can do. I mean, they do a dance they do a celebration dance for making a first down. That's your job. Your job is to tackle, to run the football, to catch the football. That is your job. Not like what the Bucks did. It's Vincent Jackson. They paying this Mike Williams all this money this past year, and now he's out for the year. Guys, what do you think about that?
Well, injuries you can't help. I mean, climb on any bandwagon when somebody gets hurt, and I'll tell you, it's tough to play when you're hurt, regardless of what it is. So, I don't think he can make a comment about that. That fellow's injured and he can't play, but. The other part, I couldn't agree with you more. That just, as I said at the top of the show, it's just getting out of hand.
We forgot about the NBA kicks in, Don. I mean, this week we got to call Mr. Pat Williams up there, get a magic player on this next week over there. We can't forget about the NBA over there, I hope to see one thing not in the NBA. I don't want to see the Miami Heat repeat. Or LeBron James get that third ring. I don't want to see a repeat from Miami. What he did against his Cleveland Cavaliers, I could never ever forget him for that. That is worse than Art Modell moving the Browns to Baltimore. Here it is, guys. He's a superstar in the city he grew up with up there and that, and the fans loved him. And now to go on that ESPN network said, "Oh, I don't know where I'm going to go." And have a big WWF affair for announcing where he's going to go. That is ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a LeBron James fan anymore. I'm more of a Kobe fan right now.
You're a who fan?
Kobe Bryant fan.
Kobe.
I can't say that one way or the other. As far as he had a chance to go and he won two championships. And when you're the best team, I don't care who's playing. When you're the best team, I hope they win. I don't care. I don't root against the team because they got great players. And so to me, that's like, rooting for years against the Yankees because they were, hey, listen, if it weren't for the Yankees, half these stadiums wouldn't be filled. I mean, they bring the people, and LeBron James brings the people, and Kobe brings the people. That's what it's all about. The Knicks are opening at the new Madison Square Garden tonight. And, they don't have a LeBron. If they had a LeBron, they'd have a chance to win.
Yeah,
hey, Donald, I
have that right up on my computer right now. The next game.
Hello.
Hello.
Everybody here?
Hello.
Tommy?
Hello.
There we go. Now we're back.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome a good friend of the program. Does a great job with the Outback Bowl, Mike Schultz. Mike, good evening and happy Wednesday to you, sir. Happy Halloween to you, sir.
Happy Halloween, guys. I'm helping my son carve a pumpkin right now.
There you go. Great job, Mike. Great job.
That's what we like to see—a little family atmosphere here.
Oh,
I was going to try and do the Outback Bowl logo, but I realize I'm not that good.
Hey, Mike, we got Jade and Evan coming over tomorrow, so I can leave the office real quick, and then I can see Papa take me trick or treating. Papa, do this. I can say she's going to say, "Where's the cupcakes at?" So I got to go to the store and get her cupcakes and a pumpkin. I could try to carve her pumpkin tomorrow. Oh, gotta be me with a knife is not very good at all. I can see what you're going through right now.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you eating the Outback food in the press box for our game.
It wasn't me. It was Frank and Don.
No. We were cutting your food for you.
I was good. I was watching the bands out there, Mike. You know me.
One thing I like about Tommy is if one steak is good, three is better.
That's right.
In other words, Tommy never saw a steak he didn't like, right, Don?
Oh, absolutely.
I just threw salad that one day. Mike, talk about
salad.
College football.
Hey, Frank, vouch for that. Hey, speaking of bands real quick, did you see, I'm sure you guys have probably seen the YouTube videos going around with the Ohio State band's performance last weekend?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that is great. I should have emailed you, called you today at the office. I was watching that, and of all the teams in Michigan, that was a great.
Oh, that was fun. No, it was, and it just, like you're saying. I mean, for our game, what's one of the neat things I like about our game is bringing these marching bands in. Man, it's a great show. I'm always watching the halftime show when I'm even when I'm working the game. I always try and make a point to stop what I'm doing and watch the halftime show because the bands that we bring in from these schools they're always so good. But getting back to your main point, the Outback Bowl is only 2 months away, man. 2 months today, and we're gonna be strapping it up there New Year's Day in Raymond James Stadium. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster. We're getting closer, getting deep into the second half of the season now, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of as best as you can. Predict right now, there's a lot of really good potential matchups we can have in our bowl game this year, and so we're thrilled. We're excited. We're following the games each weekend and watching the season unfold.
Now, Mike,
the game, from the ACC, Saturday night at 8:00 at Tallahassee, Mike. I know it doesn't affect your bowl, but great game in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. My niece actually goes to is a freshman at Florida State this year, so she's taking full credit for their resurgence. it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, those are the kind of games you really look forward to in the season. I mean, they're all fun. There's always surprises each week, as we say, but that's going to be a real dandy. And, of course, it has, some big implications for their conference race, as well as potentially the national championship, provided the winner of the game goes on to win the rest of their games. So there's a lot at stake, and those are the kind of games you love watching. We've seen a lot of them all year. I mean, even the opening weekend when we had, Georgia and Clemson, that was a real important game for both of those teams, and as we say, every week, for the teams that have a potential legitimate shot at playing the national championship. Every single week is critical for them, and you know, this is no different for these guys.
Well, Connor Shaw did a great job of bringing the Gamecocks back against Missouri to knock them out of the unbeatens in the SEC.
Yeah, what an exciting game that was, and gosh, what a finish. I mean, you hate to see either team lose in that scenario, but at the same time, I mean, you know, it just shows, you know, that, you know, how big, you know, the SEC in particular, I mean, good golly, every week is a darn war. I mean, good golly, I don't know how those teams make it through the season emotionally, much less physically. And, of course, we've seen, you know, an awful lot of the players in the SEC this year have gone down to injury, unfortunately. But, you know, even just emotionally, I mean, every week it's a battle. I mean, there just aren't any easy games. You know, you got, you know, I mean, you got, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, beating teams right and left. I mean, you know, everybody in the league has the potential to, you know, to beat you if you're not careful. And it's, you know, so, you know, that was a great game to watch in regards to being so close and back and forth. And unfortunately, you know, Missouri, you know, ended their win streak, but they still have an awful lot to play for, as does South Carolina. And, you know, because right now, I mean, you know, if Missouri wins out, they'll win the East Division, go to the SEC Championship game. But, you know, if they stumble anywhere along the way, you know, it's going to be, you know, South Carolina is going to be right there behind them. So, and then, of course, Florida and Georgia this weekend, even though they're both teams have a few losses, you know, which they didn't expect before the season started, it's still a huge rivalry, and it's still a very, very important game for those guys in regards to where they end up the rest at the end of the season and what their bowl possibilities are going to be. So they're still playing for an awful lot, and that's going to be a good game too, I think.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that Florida this week, a big recruiting weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this past weekend, and the entire coaching staff was taken off the road and brought back to meet and to try to redesign what's happening at Florida, because they're very disappointed at where they are, and they're trying to reevaluate every section of the game, the special teams, the offensive team, the defensive team. And he didn't want anybody on the road. He wanted everybody there, which is really unusual at this time.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a huge game for that program, you know, with the huge rivalry and all that, like I said. But I'll tell you that, you know, fans are fickle, as we all know. But, you know, in their case, you know, Mark Richt at Georgia, these guys have been so banged up, you know, with so many injuries. You know, Florida, in Florida's case, they lose their starting quarterback, and you know, Tyler's been you know, pretty good for a new kid coming in, you know, at the last minute. He's done some good things, but you know, they've been injured on defense, all over the place, on their offensive line. I mean, a lot of different positions, as is Georgia, and you know, no coach can be faulted for that. I mean, you know, you go out and recruit, first of all. You know, any coach, you know, the recruiting is number one, because if you don't have, you know, the talent, you can only do so much as a coach, you know, strategy-wise. And then when you go and do all that and put together, you know, a team that's a very competitive team, but then you start losing players, so many players both those teams have, to injury, you know, there's not a whole lot, you know, that you can do to make up for that, you know. So, you know, hopefully the fans are not going to be too hard on either, you know, Richt or Muschamp this year. You know, they're dealing with some really unusual circumstances, and they're trying to do as much as they can with the players they have healthy to be able to be competitive the rest of the year. And I think that's really what they're focusing on. It's not so much of, you know, well, what we've been doing all year isn't working. It's the fact that how do we plug the holes, you know, and adjust to the talent that we are able to field out there each Saturday compared to what we thought we had at the beginning of the season. And I understand that, you know, it's important for them. They got a lot of games left that they need to try and figure out with their personnel they have now, how, you know, what they can run offensively and defensively that's going to make them competitive the rest of the way.
You're
Mike,
right on, Mike. And, you know, just getting back to that South Carolina game, if Connor Shaw wasn't able to come in and rescue the team, Missouri would still be undefeated, in my opinion.
Well, they probably were. I'll tell you, their other quarterback, is a good quarterback. I mean, he played, the whole game last year against Clemson, played great, played quite a bit in our game, in our bowl game last year. In fact, he was the one that threw the winning touchdown at the end of the game when Connor Shaw got hurt, in the second half of our game. So if it wasn't for him, they may not have won our game that last year. So, he's a good quarterback, but certainly, things just weren't happening for him. He wasn't on that night. And I agree, Connor Shaw coming back in gave them the spark that they needed. And he's such a really good team leader, and I think it just is what they needed at that time. But I'll tell you, the other quarterback is still going to be playing quite a bit, I think, for him, and he's a good quarterback as well. But yeah, Connor Shaw really, took the bull by the horns and did a great job of doing whatever he needed to get the team rallied.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, how about the Outback Bowl itself? How can people be involved in a game, like being a sponsor of the game or be a big part of the game or sponsorship available packages for everyone out there?
We've got, like I mentioned, tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster. So they've been on sale here for a while and will be all the way until we don't have any left. We do have, as you mentioned, sponsorship opportunities available for folks as well as priority seating packages that are what we call membership packages. You can read about those on our Outback Bowl website at outbackbowl.com and purchase those directly through the bowl office. Or you can just buy individual tickets themselves through Ticketmaster. So a lot of different ways to be involved. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, West Central Florida in particular, even though you don't know who's in the game, at this point, as you can attest to, you guys have been to our game many times. We always have some really good matchups. We've got some really fun teams to watch. A lot of close, typically very close games. A great atmosphere, and it's a great experience regardless of who you typically root for each Saturday. So, if people want to avoid trying to figure out what to get their college football friend for Christmas and avoid Black Fridays and all that kind of stuff, it's a great holiday gift to give to somebody who's a college football fan who'd love to just be able to go out and see a great New Year's Day college bowl game and experience that excitement and that pageantry around the game.
Did you say
Mike,
Christmas already?
An area we never discuss, and I've thought about it. I meant to ask you. When do you get your volunteer corps together? I know it starts out, 6-7 months out, but I know there's probably a lot of people listening that would be interested in being a volunteer at the Bowl.
Well, we actually have our volunteer base in place for this year pretty much at this point. We don't have quite as many as some games do because of the nature of some of the things that they participate in. But we do have a number of people who are involved on various committees for us that help us with some of our key events, like our parade on New Year's Eve. Our beach day event on Clearwater Beach is always a huge endeavor, and we have close to 100 volunteers that just work on that event for us and on that day and some different things like that. So it's we've had a lot of people that have been involved with the bowl game, some since it started here 28 years ago.
Wow.
And it's become a real neat sort of family environment for a lot of those people. And it's a great experience. And they just love, they're people that just love college football, and doing something that's really a positive benefit for the West Central Florida area. So it's been a great experience, and those of us on the full-time staff, you know, it's been a lot of fun over the years to watch the bowl evolve and the different teams come in with their different traditions, the different fan bases come in, and this year, you know, we could have some teams that we haven't had in a while, or possibly even some teams we've never had before from the Big Ten, the SEC, and that would, you know, make it even more exciting to be able to host some fans that have never had the experience of being involved in the Outback Bowl and you know, potentially, you know, maybe never been to the Tampa Bay area to you know, sort of show off our community to some new folks.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. I think it would be great for the ACC because it's not a long trip to for many of the teams to get there. Most of the teams are very, very well followed, and there would be an exposure to a stadium in a city that maybe they haven't seen before. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so there's some teams that, like I said, that we haven't had in a while that are emerging, you know, that could be possible, you know, possibly in our picture. Teams, you know, like, you know, Missouri, for instance, is one that we never had them obviously in our game, and Texas A&M, Nebraska, those are all newer teams to the Big Ten SEC that have never been to our bowl game. So if one of those guys is available to us, then they might, you know, be a team that would come down here. And if not, then if they, you know, win the SEC or do something else, and you know, we'll get them somewhere down the road. But you know, it's always fun to have these teams down here and the fans and show off what a fabulous community that we have here and with all the amenities here and that's why we use the tagline football in paradise. It's you know, we feel like we are fortunate to live in a place that many consider paradise and you know, we're proud to show it off.
Mike, I got a question for you. Did you say Christmas present already?
Yeah, well, I heard Walmart's putting up some Christmas decorations already. So I saw Christmas trees in Home Depot
They put those up the 1st of September.
Yeah, so right. I'm like, well, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought we were I'm sitting there thinking about carving pumpkins for Halloween and I'm talking Christmas here. It'll be here before we know it, though, you know.
I know, but my local CVS down here, right, she had a display on Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas. I said, Mario, you're going too far. Get that stuff off. It's 90 degrees out there.
That's a bit much.
Oh, God. So, Mike, have fun going back to carving a pumpkin. Thank you for your time tonight, sir. Always a pleasure, and we'll get you on same time next week. Talk some more college football. Thank you, sir, for coming on, Mike.
That sounds great, guys. Good talking with you.
Take care, Mike. Have a great week.
Have a good one, Mike.
You too.
Well, guys, we're going to change that gears for a little bit to golf. Our resident golf pro is on, Doug. Doug, welcome to the program, sir.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Just listening to a little bit of college football action there. So good start to my Wednesday evening call.
Thank you. Doug, what is the tip of the week right now, say, for the North? Let's do two tips this week, one for the Northern golfer and one for this coming down here, not used to the summer heat down here, going to be playing their first couple rounds of golf up there.
It's interesting. It was actually 65 degrees up here today.
Ooh.
You know, kind of nice. We had, you know, a few players. And interestingly enough, I do have a friend of mine in the Florida, you know, area there who's a superintendent of a course down there. And, you know, we talk from time to time, and I always kind of pass the baton to him when it's my season's ending and I guess his season is starting. So, you know, for folks up here in the north, we actually have quite a few members that will travel south or, you know, kind of plan their winters around certain trips or, you know, doing certain things to keep active in golf. And, you know, for all the folks in the south that are kind of gearing up and getting their season started, you know, I always think that there's nobody that plays the game of golf would ever take less consistency. So everybody's always looking for more consistency in their games. And I think it's very important to, you know, whether you're winding your season down or you're just kind of starting your season and getting yourself going, try to establish a certain pattern, you know, in your shot shape and go with that pattern. And so, you know, like you guys have always heard me say, I always go back to some of the keys of the game even before you swing the golf club, which are your grip, your stance, your posture, your alignment, mm-hmm. your ball position, and things like that that are so influential of your golf swing. And once you've, you know, kind of felt comfortable with some of those aspects of the game, you know, don't try to make, you know, certain shot shapes happen or play certain shots that you think are kind of outside of your comfort zone. Kind of go with what you have and make that work and trust all the things that we talked about. And once you can develop a pattern, you know, at that point, you can shift your pattern to something else that you be, you know, whether you play a draw or a fade or what have you, you know, go with what you have. And if you don't like it at that point, then you see your PGA professional and have a change from there. So consistency is the key.
Talk about the weather down here when it's taking northerners, say these other people from north from Canada is coming down. Their last mm-hmm. time they played was mm-hmm. probably, you know, it's like 65 up there now. They're going to come down here. It's like Don and Frank had attested. It was mm-hmm. we got the AC running right now, and then it's yeah. going to be close to 90 degrees right now for these guys coming tomorrow. I say they haven't played in a hot, the weather, mm-hmm. sticky day since the summer. So what would, any suggestions you have for, you know, are these players just coming down for the first time and be playing golf in, you know, probably 80 or above?
Sure. Of course. It'll certainly feel odd to, I think, a lot of those people to go down there and sweat a little bit. You know, they probably haven't experienced that in some time. And, you know, whether you know it or not, I mean, you can get sunburnt on, you know, a 50-degree day. So, you know, you throw in 80, 85, 90 degrees and maybe some humidity and, you know, it's game on at that point. So, you know, you really simple things like, you know, obviously staying hydrated. You know, if you wait until you're thirsty, it's too late. And, you know, eating. If you know you're going out to play a round of golf, I certainly don't like to eat, you know, something right before I go because you kind of get that bloated or full feeling. And so I think that's consistent with a lot of the things I do when I go to the gym. I try to eat an hour or 2 hours, you know, prior to doing something where you're going to involve your body moving and twisting and turning. So, you know, the food levels and hydration so you have some energy. You know, I always like to pack my golf bag with certain you know, things, whether it's, you know, a handful of almonds or, you know, a granola bar or something like that, so you can kind of keep your stamina throughout your round of golf. And, you know, people always make that, you know, I'll get a hot dog at the turn kind of assumption, and that, you know, obviously isn't something that's, you know, going to help you endure the last nine holes and make you feel good about, you know, playing golf, particularly if it's going to be that hot. So you want to stay light on the food, but keep yourself hydrated and you know, with some food in your belly, not too much. Certain things, you know, obviously you're wearing a hat is critical to protect your ears and your face. Sunscreen is always, you know, a really good idea. And all these manufacturers from Nike to Adidas to Under Armour and all these different companies that offer, you know, so many selections when it comes to the apparel and clothing that you can wear to help keep you cooler as well. You know, so those are all obviously, you know, really good things that can help you, you know, make that transition from a cooler weather to a warmer weather scenario so that you don't feel like you're overheated or not feeling well when you go out and play.
Well, Doug, I took those like, every week when you come on and you say the tempo. You say mm-hmm. the tempo like this, here, and that. And I listen, you know, I take your tips seriously every week. And mm-hmm. by God, I mean, you haven't seen Mike swing at all. And mm-hmm. my game has improved off the tee by 20 yards off the tee,
nice.
And I'm getting more perpendicular in the iron swing coming down like you told me to come down and your swing's mm-hmm. up there. And I've taken all your tips seriously. And my game,
wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, has improved about 20 yards off the tee, 10 yards in an irons, and putting fantastically. Doug, I just can't thank you enough for all those your
wonderful.
Tips are giving me, and they're sinking in right now, and my game's 100% better.
I tell you guys, you know, there are obviously many listeners, and that's pretty encouraging. When I get on here, it's really cool to know that there are some folks out there that are maybe paying attention to some of the things I say. And I am very passionate about trying to make the game a better game and trying to make those that listen and the individuals that I have a chance to reach understand that they can get better, you know. And there are certain things, you know, I had a instructor at one of my PGA schooling down there actually in West Palm tell me, if you do what you always did, you'll get what you always got. And, you know, so there are so many people out there, you know, when we talk about consistency that, you know, like you said, transitioning from north, you know, to south, or guys up here that are just going to put their clubs away for the season and not do anything to, you know, when they get started, they'll pick their clubs up in, when the weather breaks in April or whatever, and then they'll expect to do the same things that they did last year. But everybody knows that you get a year older, you lose a few, you lose flexibility, you lose strength, you lose, you know, different items that, that obviously contribute to you playing well. And so the things that you do in the off season carry over into that what you do into the regular season. So even like I said, if you have carpeting throughout your house, throw a quarter down, you know, somewhere in a remote spot of your floor and try to putt a ball to it. Or, you know, just, you know, in between commercials that you're watching, whether it's the World Series or Sunday football or whatever, you know, work on the grip on your golf club, you know, hold the golf club. Simple things like, you know, you build calluses throughout the season because you swing the golf club. Your hands get soft during the winter if you don't do that. You know, go to the gym and do different things that you can, you know, help with your flexibility, help with your strength. I mean, everybody always comes to me in April and say, hey, bro, I need to get 10 more yards off the tee. And I'm like, okay, well, move up a set of tees. You know what I mean?
So, sure.
I can't help you if you can't help yourself. You know, how bad do you, I mean, are you okay with your scores? If you like your scores and you enjoy playing golf and you like to be outside, you like nature and different things that you like, and you're okay with shooting, you know, whatever your score is, then keep doing what you're doing. You know, and I think that's okay. But if you want to get better, you're going to have to make the effort to try to do so. And like I said, certain things that you can do, you know, in the off season, and like we said, they're simple things. Like, when's the last time you checked the grooves on your wedge? You know, you try to hit a wedge into the green, and there's no grooves left on it, and you wonder why it doesn't hold. You know, when's the last time you had your clubs regripped? You know, simple things like, you know, you start squeezing your golf club, and then you can't release it, and then you start hitting the ball all over the place. Simple things that, you know, you can try to take care of in your off season that, you know, how many people out there have that uncomfortable yardage? You know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, you love your six iron, but you really can't hit, you know, that certain yardage, whether it's 180 yards or 50 yards or whatever, but you don't even have the right club to be able to do that. You know, evaluate, you know, your clubs and your set and, you know, simple things. Like I say, I always try to get people out, and when you actually go through the fitting process, you know, you apply face tape and you apply tape to the bottom of the club and you hit off the hitting board. When's the last time somebody kind of evaluated your set of clubs to say, you know, geez, Don, your clubs are too short for you, or they're not even bent to the right specifications. You know, you wonder why you're hitting the ball right. It's because your golf clubs aren't fit for you. You know, like I said, simple things that you can do, you know, to try to help yourself out.
Ken, I'd like to walk them real quick. We're having this golf tournament, everybody, for the Dunedin Christmas Fun. It's going to be Saturday, March 9th, the Dunedin Country Club. I'd like to walk them. My co-chairman, Mr. Eddie Michaels. Eddie, tell everybody about the golf event on November 9th, and what's the charity going to help out for that, Eddie?
Well, you know, Tommy, I got to comment on one thing beforehand. You know, there's only one club in my bag that ever needs regripping.
Don't tell
it's
me
it's my
your
ball
retriever.
Retriever.
Oh, no.
Hey, so is this?
The thing is, you say you want an extra 10 yards? B, I'd just like a yard. I did, you know, I understand some courses, I do get an automatic 20 yards distance, extra distance on my grips.
I
moved I
had
up
a girl,
to the senior
Leo,
citizen
I had
teams.
A girl tell me the same thing about you.
Hey, I've moved up to the senior citizen tee, so I've already gained 20 yards in my drive.
Eddie, tell me about the... Yes.
Listen, Tommy, I'll tell you what. If you people want... as long as you can tell them, this thing is all... We have a lot of fun, and a lot of kids get helped on this, that if we go back in our 12 previous years... There's just short of 3,400 kids we've provided Christmas for in our history.
That's great. Awesome.
And last year, it was a little lax. We only spent $1.28 for every dollar we raised. It's no joke. We spend more than we make. Don't ask me how it's done. If I could figure it out myself, I could balance the federal budget.
Hey, that sounds like
this
my wife's budget. I can tell you how it's done.
Hey,
you know, Eddie and Leo sound like they could be twin brothers.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Oh. Well, you know,
don't
something?
Get Eddie fired up.
No, hey, I'll tell you a little funny story about Tommy and I.
Oh, God. Listen
this
to this one, Doug.
This goes back to Groundhog's Day 2000.
Oh, geez,
we are playing in a scramble.
Oh, no.
Now, let's put it this way. Tommy and I aren't playing that good that day. We got another guy. There's three of us in a four-man scramble, and we could have had 10 of us, and we couldn't have beaten anybody. But on the ninth hole, I turn around and hit one on this par three, countryside exec, bounce one on the fairway, once on the grass, and it rolls into the hole. Tommy and I are happy as all hell. Tommy's happy for me. I turn around, and there's the entire scramble watching me. When we finished the 18th hole, I looked at Tommy and I said, you got a couple of bucks I can borrow? Tommy had like five moldy $1 bills. So tidy squeaks. Tommy and I, with beers in our hand, take a golf cart, go out on the street, drive down to the nearest bank, go to the ATM machine, call, I can pay my bar tab. Now, wait a minute, this gets even worse. This is Countryside Exec Golf Course. That's no more. I am now a gentleman standing in my backyard looking at the ninth hole granite tee box marker with the trash can holder and the ball cleaner. Before they closed the golf course, I got it out of there. Wait a minute.
Good souvenir.
Our buddy Paul Ward, Paul has his tee box marker holding his mailbox in front of his house in Dunedin.
Oh, okay.
Of course. But just to let people know, you can go online at rocketsports-ent.com. In fact, just go put Dunedin Children's Christmas Fund on the Internet, and it'll come up, this year's entry form. It's $300 for a team. We usually have some fairly infamous, I mean famous people show up. In fact, there's one gentleman will be there that holds one of the two World Series records, pitching records, that can never be broken, only equaled. And everybody knows the first one's the perfect game. Well, the only gentleman ever to pitch in all seven games of a World Series will be there on the ninth, Darrell Moles.
Mm.
People forget about him. He holds that World Series record. And but the thing is, it's all for the kids. And I don't know, Tommy, since you and I do the scoring, will we be honest again this year?
Oh, Eddie, we're always honest. Douglas happened a couple of years ago. Like Eddie starts in 1-9 and I start in the other 9. So we get the scorecards in there and that. So we all these different flights up there. So here it is, one team was, thought they won the tournament. So I said, we got to match scorecards. Number one handicap hole front side, number two in the back side, number one, then goes 3-4. Following the fourth extra hole, the one team A beat team number B to win the one who wanted the flights,
yeah.
And the guy was arguing with me. I said, sir, this is the way we do. We match scorecards at a handicap hole on the front side, the back side, and this is how we do it. The guy thanked me for doing that.
You know that we are one of the few places that ever does that. And here's the other thing, a funny story about you, Tommy, about 7-8 years ago.
Uh-oh.
You remember you gave out, you had it all done, and I says, Tommy, you can't. This team won the tournament, and it was a family flight winner. It was a woman with her fiancé, her father, and her uncle that won the tournament.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't win
that.
The family flight. You know, if you remember, the woman was the winner on the team. She was almost the scratch golfer.
That's right. I remember that now.
Do you know the other thing is people don't seem to realize how many tournaments do you know that are 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning?
Mm. None.
That is tough. Mm. And we thank the Dunedin Country Club for allowing us to do that. Mm. They have been with us now, I don't know, Tommy, what, 8, 9 years?
Probably
10
when
years
we first took it over.
We've
Well, here's how Eddie and I took it over. I'll tell him this story, Eddie. The guys originally ran the tournament, gentlemen, were this, we're good guys. They're good guys. And here I said, Eddie and I were sitting down and having the adult beverage one after the thing was over, and they're taking a Philadelphia Phillies golf shirt home with them. And I said to them, you can't do that. That's supposed to be for the kids. Eddie, that's supposed to be for the kids. And Eddie and I said, next year we're going to do our own thing. For the last 10 years, we did our own thing. We don't make a dime off this thing, guys. All we want to do is for the kids, and Eddie gets his time. I give my time, and anything it's all for the kids of Dunning Clearwater. Make sure they have a great Christmas up there, and that's all we do it for.
Yeah.
Well, these guys,
they live in Dunedin or go to school in Dunedin. That's
right.
What we have, and about, like you said, Tom, about a third of our kids actually live in Clearwater.
Exactly. I mean, that's what happened, guys. They took this shirt to put in their bag for goodies for their own thing and said, you can't do that. And that was a beautiful Philly Scholar shirt. It was a World Series emblem on there, too. It's just, that's for the kids. You're supposed to bid on that. That's for the kids.
Tommy, you gotta say one thing, Tommy, when you talk about some of the kids being from Clearwater. You know, when the Blue Jays come down, it doubles the population of Dunedin.
Yes. But you know, here's another thing that a lot of people don't know about, and like a former mayor at Dunedin, Bob Hackworth, said about us, we're Dunedin's best-kept secret. Now, after, like Tom says, that was about 10 years ago, all the, and I'm not afraid to say, undesirables have been weeded out. I mean, we got a bookkeeping system. It takes an act of Congress to get a dollar out of us. The thing was, there are kids in Dunedin that couldn't afford an activity card at the MLK Center.
Hmm.
We have what's called the Kirby Fund. Well, guess what? No kid in Dunedin can ever not use a city facility for the lack of $8. We pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done everything from gotten calls from a school. Eddie, this kid just showed up at school. This is about 7-8 years ago. Says, Eddie, the kid doesn't have any shoes. He's just wearing socks. Well, what's the story? He says, I called home. Mother doesn't have any. Mother's really short on her luck. Well, I can't take the kid to go get shoes. The school did. We met him. We bought a pair of shoes so he'd go to school and play in school, you know, a $50 pair of shoes. But, I mean, it's just things we have done over the years.
That's terrific.
In fact,
that really
is
terrific.
But once we even got a woman a job.
Yep.
Don't knock it. Don't ask how we did it, but it stumbled on it that way.
Mm-hmm. So, that is a great story. You know, I'll tell you something, Eddie, when you talk about a $50 pair of shoes, what amazes me is we all grew up wearing Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars to play basketball, and I can remember it was like $7-$8, and now they're $50 or more. And one of the kids I was talking to that had a pair on, you used to wear these to play basketball? I said, that's right. They were the best at the time, you know, 50, 60 years
tops.
Ago. And you look at them now, high tops. I remember when I got my first pair of low cuts. And now they're a stylish shoe the kids wear.
But remember when the low cuts first came out, and if you're going down the court and you lose a low cut, play had to continue in New York State. But if you ever had a high top come off, the referee would blow the whistle and you could go get it fixed. That's back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Well,
as Roger said, the prices that that we paid for sneaks, whether you got low sneaks or whether you got the high ones, I mean, they were respectable. But now, I mean, the kids with these $200, $300 shoes, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely nuts.
That's almost what I pay for a pair of hockey skates to referee in.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Don,
I can tell you.
Victorino is in tonight.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's
Don, I got to tell you a funny story to everybody about Eddie one day, right? I'm down at Clearwater Complex. He got 11 stories. You know where Carpenter Complex is, Don, Roger, and Frank, and Doug?
Oh, yeah.
Lake?
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him this. So I'm walking down. I'm just going down. I had to meet Eddie. He said, meet at the ballpark. I had to give him something for the charity up there, right? I said, oh, my God. I can't believe my eyes. He's umpiring a Florida State a Gulf Coast League game. I says, now I see everything. Right?
Well, hey, Tommy, it was actually, do you know what it was? It was a spring training game.
Okay, I thought,
for the Upper A St. Catharines Blue Jays and Batavia Phillies.
Oh,
that's what it was. And Bill Dancy was the farm director who will be there at the golf tournament. And Bill was all over me. And then you come along and throw more gasoline on the fire. And this is no joke. The poor guy I was working with that day, I think it was his first pro game. He makes a non-call on a strike three. The batter is already heading to the dugout. I am just counting the stars in the sky in broad daylight, and I try to ignore it, and he literally, oh, back here. He called the guy back finally, and I'm going, oh, God. But, you know, Tom, I've done about 20 minor league games, mostly extended spring, instructional league, and like that.
That's still a couple weeks.
I've never been to umpire school. I've never been.
And you probably do a better job than some of the pros.
Well, I'll tell you what. You look at it sometimes, and I'll tell you, you learn by watching. But like with ice hockey, I've been doing it for 35 years. But do you know, I figured out a couple of years back when I did my first baseball game. And it was halfway around the world. It was in January 1969 at the end of the runway at Thompson Hood Air Force Base in Vietnam, where I was in the Army Aviation at the time. So, you know, it's something else to have your baseball career go 44 years, almost 45 now. Because that was 1969, I did my first ever ball game.
Well,
I was 20 years old.
Well, I got to tell you a good story about Eddie one day. Eddie does a great job at reffing ice hockey games over at the – where are you? You're over at Brandon,
TBSA,
right?
TBSA now, yeah.
Oh, TBSA right now. So one day he was on the ice and he saw what Lightning broadcaster Rick Peckham. And what did Rick say to you? Would you tell Rick?
Hey, is that the game that Anderchuk – and Timmy Taylor brought me a bunch of beers across the street because Taylor wiped me out on the ice? Is that one?
No, it's just funny.
Hey.
Cause...
Oh, Peckham got me good. Of course, he was at the Rochester Amherst originally?
Right.
I
but
think
remember,
Rick was there.
What did he tell you to do? Would you say him back? You got here. It's funny.
Well, you know, Tommy, isn't that the one that, you know, hey, listen, I needed a white cane for to do? I let Wait a minute, that's the game I was doing with the other former NHL ref. Rick
right, it's getting better and better.
Oh, now I'm in real trouble. Hey, listen, that was a game of many memories, fans, many memories. Hey, but Tommy, I know you got more stuff to do, but remember this, the golf tournament on the 9th of November. Now, listen, if you can't play golf, you know where they can go afterwards?
Tell me.
Come on up to Norton's about 1 o'clock, 1:15. We start running the raffles and everything like that at Norton's. They're on Main Street in Dunedin, and they are a sponsor of the Children's Fund.
There you go.
So,
there you have it.
And I'll tell you what, it would take half an hour to list off all our sponsors.
Well, you got to feel pretty good when it's all over, though, to be able to do, you know, what you've been able to do for 10 years for the kids.
Well, actually, this is our 13th Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What Tommy was talking about there is when we got rid of some people of questionable reputation.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
you know, the thing is, this is no joke. With a couple of years ago, I get a card. Now, since Kirby Wilmore passed away, I'm actually the only one that ever sees all the lists and all the cards. And this woman wrote a letter, a note, and had it delivered to Flooring America there on Patricia, which is our mail drop in Dunedin. And anybody who wants to leave a donation, you can go there, 100 Patricia Ave, Flooring America in Dunedin. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to tell my daughter Santa Claus wasn't coming again this year.
Well,
I was mad in a wet hen. How did we miss her last year? That is no joke. How did we miss her? And there's also people that are scared to take a little bit of a helping hand. We don't call it charity. a little bit of the helping hand. And we make sure the ones we find out about, they get taken care of. All it'll say is in an envelope with like a gift card that says, from a friend. And we don't want to embarrass anybody, but I feel a lot of people out there, they think it's charity. No, it's not. It's just a helping hand.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I think Tommy will agree with me on that.
Exactly. That. So, Eddie, we're going to donate our door prize from this show. We're going to have a winner. Guys, what do you think? We're going to have a winner come on air with us for the show up there for one of the door prizes. Eddie, have the winner bet on the
show. Oh,
you're
going to have a sportscaster? A sportscaster? Oh, hey, can I bid on that?
guys, what do you think about that for the charity?
Great
idea.
Fine
with me.
Right. Yeah, I heard a lot of muff. Hey, what did three guys leave the building? Hey, listen, Tommy. It could be worse. You could. I won't tell some of the stories. Well, didn't you have a guest once that spoke about the Williams sisters that didn't say anything complimentary about them in a tennis game about 10 years ago?
I don't remember that.
Could have been Leo last week.
Conveniently. But I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of fun doing radio. In all those years I did it in Fulton, New York, on the show The Other Side of Sports. And there was one thing. It was the 93 World Series. Tommy, you didn't cover it in Toronto.
No.
But on my radio show, you went... And because it was the Phillies and the Blue Jays, you went to Phillies Restaurant, which is now Fuzzy's here in Clearwater, mm-hmm. and you were interviewing bar patrons. And I could tell by the way you did it, you were consuming alcoholic beverages as you did it.
No.
You know Tommy gets better the more he drinks?
No, say that.
That's the last 20
well,
years
I'll tell
ago,
you, Eddie, that wouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, but I don't drink.
Hey, Eddie, while I got you on the line, tell Doug that story about Joe Carter, about the Woofies. And tell, they haven't heard that one there. Doug, you still on the line?
Yes, actually, I wanted to say I had the speaker there. I had my phone on speaker, and my cat walked by, and Eddie's voice sounds so much like Leo's. The cat
I thought it was Leo when he came on. That's what I thought it was when he first came on.
Hey, the cat hissed when he heard the voice.
Yeah, wait a minute, Tommy. I got to ask you something, Tommy. Which Joe Carter story do you want?
Well, tell me one about the golf thing up there. I don't. But tell me, just pick out a Joe Carter story. We're up against the clock for these guys. Just tell me a golf Joe Carter story. I think Doug will.
Well, wait a minute. Is this the one where you, Joe Carter, and a couple other ball players were playing golf? And you
yep.
stuck it on the par 3 hole, 3 feet from the pin. Everybody else is off the thing. And you took a bogey because everybody else parred. You didn't want to get anybody mad at you. Is that the
yep.
one you want?
Yeah.
And how about the time your mother is explaining to me, your late mother is telling me that my spelling is atrocious. You gave me a book. She gave me a book that I still carry. Now, wait a minute, fans. This gets weirder. She is talking at the same time. This is when Joe Carter, Devon White, who else was at your house?
I think
for dinner.
Dave Stewart. Dave Stewart, I think, yes.
Oh, gosh, yes. And listen, your mother was, you couldn't get away with anything. Now I know why you're like you are today. She kept
That's
you
right.
in line. Does your wife know that? Does Connie
oh, yes.
know that? And by the way, who married you and Connie?
Oh my God, Eddie's wife did.
Yeah,
hey,
and who
Tommy.
Wrote your weddings?
Did you tell Joe Carter that he ruined your day in October of 93?
No, the funny story about this, because like Joe said in 90, when he came down to spring training, I said that. I said, Joe, you got a minute right there. He said, no, I got a – no. He said, you got a minute? I said, no. He said, go get your golf clubs. We got a 1 o'clock tee-off time at Dunedin Country Club. I says, okay. So I got the clubs over there. It says, tell your mom I'm coming over for dinner. So, okay, Joe, because Joe loved my mom and dad tremendously in that. So,
yeah.
So I say, now you got a minute. No, I don't want you to interview. I want your dad to interview me. True story, guys,
hey.
You know. But
well,
Joe,
listen, hey, you got to figure it. Joe Carter, hey, here's another Joe Carter story for you. 1997. It's the first part of spring training on Field 1 at the old Engelbert Complex in Dunedin. Roger Clemens steps out and he's pitching. Joe Carter steps in. Joe Carter hits a ball that clears the street behind the left field fence and ends up in a housing development behind it there. In other words, this is about 420, 430 feet. I guess I don't think they ever found the ball. Joe hit it. He looks at it. Now, they're just taking batting practice, and Clemens is on the mound, looks, turns back, and Joe is standing there and says, the ball hit my bat. The ball hit my bat. I didn't do it. Don't hit me. Well, Joe, and he hit it off. I mean, he hit it off Clemens, and that was 1997.
Oh,
back when I was covering
that.
The Jays for AP. So...
I remember that.
2 years after they won the World Series against the Phillies in 93.
Right.
Well, you know, when I got married in 97, Karen and I got married, Roger Clemens signed a ball, Joe Carter and Pat Henkin for my best man and my two ushers. And it was like one of my ushers is my wife's brother. He has the baseball on top of his computer, nobody is allowed to touch it. You can only look at it with his permission. So,
gentlemen, Frank says.
By the way,
hey,
Tommy, you know, that's one of the items. Here's a couple items we got up to raffle. Not raffle off, but bid, auction off. How about a Jim Thome Chicago White Sox jersey? Unautographed, unfortunately. And
okay.
Another thing is, the last member of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays starting lineup that's still in professional baseball. He retired as a player this past April.
Miguel
Cairo? Starting second baseman, Miguel Cairo.
Yes, okay.
He's got some autographed baseballs from him.
Definitely.
How about Grant Belfer, the former Ray?
Definitely. Eddie, we're up against the clock. I'd like to thank you for coming
okay.
on. We'll get you on next week, sir. And Doug, thank you for the golf tip of the week. All your great tips have been fantastic. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Our Philadelphia
thank
legend,
you.
Mr. Don Henderson, thank you so much for coming on. God bless.
Well, my
Atlanta
my
legend,
pleasure. Keep working with those kids.
Oh, God.
Yes,
I
we
really
job, Tommy, Eddie.
Thank you.
Take care,
thank
Doug,
you.
Don, take Frank.
Care. Yes, sir.
Have a great
thank
week.
You
God bless.
See you, Raj.
Take care. We'll talk to everybody next week. I'd like to thank always our sponsor, Bradford Water Heaters of Emperor, Pennsylvania. Purchase your water, log on to BradfordWhite.com. The Abbey Course, give Tom a call, 352-588. 2016, Tampa Bay Golf and Country, give Tim Baker a call. He won't call us, but give him a call, 352-588. 54-54. Frank, I'll see you at the hockey game on Saturday night. We'll have a nice dinner, and looking forward to seeing everybody there. So, and the Lightning's home this coming Saturday night. We're seeing those tickets. Call 813-301-6600. Skate to TampaBayLightning.com. Frank, God bless. Take it away and have a wonderful week. And looking forward to see you in person Saturday night at the hockey game.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank everyone for listening tonight. It really is a pleasure to provide these programs each and every night of the week, with grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, women, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, just walk over, shake their hand, or just tell them we appreciate what you're doing. It means a world of difference to the guys and girls on the street. These programs are also brought to you in grateful appreciation to the men and women who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Patrolman Ricky Bell, Detective Randy Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland Police, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, the Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses of Philadelphia Patrol Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy from the Township PD, Lieutenant Mike Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some point we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord.
Sona shen vorat fet hakuig ken maerma
County dispatched to 1999. County dispatched to 1999. County dispatched to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 is now. Answered his last call. May God rest his soul. Wait a minute. Thank you.